Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rebecca F. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, December 1st, 2016. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page Roman numeral XVI in Forward to Second Edition, the first paragraph beginning with Prior to His Journey to Akron. Today's readers are Esther F., Rebecca B., Nancy R., Lynn S., and Irini M. Our newcomer greeter is Vinga P. The reference number for Wednesday, November 30th, 2016, is 9308. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Esther F. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. This is Esther F., a recovered compulsive overeater from Cleveland, Ohio. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Esther F. I will now ask Rebecca B. to read the 12 traditions. Rebecca B., please press star 1 to unmute.
Rebecca, do you hear me?
Now I
Hello?
Do.
Hi, Rebecca. Oh,
hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca.
Oh, dear.
Thank you for letting me do service. Can you hear me now?
I hear you now, Rebecca B.
Okay. Rebecca B., a recovering compulsive overeater from Boston. 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of our program, always ensuring principles before personalities. Thanks so much for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you, Rebecca B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page Roman numeral XVI in Foreword to Second Edition, the first full paragraph beginning with prior to his journey to Akron and ending with the Akron physician. I will ask Nancy R. to begin reading.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Nancy R., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Prior to his journey to Akron, the broker had worked hard with many alcoholics on the theory that only an alcoholic could help an alcoholic, but he had succeeded only in keeping sober himself. The broker had gone to Akron on a business venture which had collapsed, leaving him greatly in fear that he might start drinking again. He suddenly realized that in order to save himself, he must carry his message to another alcoholic. That alcoholic turned out to be the Akron physician. Oh, wow, what a wonderful paragraph, a summarization of the formula, the treatment for our disease. You know, like the diabetic, who has to take insulin to control his blood sugar, I'm given a daily reprieve based upon my spiritual condition. And there's, you know, after working the steps, I'm given specific instructions. On page 89 of the Big Book, excuse me, it says, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. I mean, this is just like an insurance policy. This is our treatment for our disease. People get immunized against certain diseases, and they feel assured that I won't catch it. You know, when it comes around, people run and get flu shots because they don't want to catch the disease. And it says right here, nothing ensures immunity, and that's what I want. And what do I have to do to receive this insurance? I have to, it's an intensive. I have to work with other alcoholics, other compulsive overeaters intensively, not just, you know, seeing them at meetings and wishing them a pat on the back. I have to spend time taking other people through the steps. And by doing that, I'm insured that I don't have to go back to the hell that I came from when I found this program. And, you know, and working with people is not a chore. It's a privilege. And I, you know, I just finished taking a new person to me, through the steps, and it has been just such a joy. I met a wonderful woman that I never would have met in this life, and I picked up some things that I hadn't picked up before working with her. So this is the formula that we've been given, that if we want to have this insurance against relapse, work with another person. And with that, I'll say thank you. I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Nancy R. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Mr. R. I speak. Mr. R.
Larry.
Irini. Okay, hold on one sec. Did I hear Linda R?
Nessa R.
Oh, Nessa R.
Harlan G.
And okay, wait one second. Nessa R. And then I remember hearing Larry K, I believe. And did I hear Irini?
Yes, thank you.
I did hear Irini M. And then I heard Harlan, but I know there were others before. So who
Melissa
else
C.
did I miss? Oh, Melissa C.
This is Bella Kaysen.
Bella, yeah. Who else? Anyone?
Kurt.
Kurt. Okay. I have Nessa R., Larry K., Irini M., Harlan G., Melissa C., Bella, I should know your initial, but I don't, and Kurt, and I don't, but you can say them when I call on you. Did I miss anyone who spoke up? Okay. Nessa R., go right ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, Vision for You. This is Nessa R., recovered in Toronto, Canada. So I wondered, like, why is it that only an alcoholic can help another alcoholic? I mean, like, the weight loss industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. There's so many experts of all kinds. And, you know, I know for me, I tried so many things, not only nutritionists, but, you know, as a therapist, specializing in food disorders. I went to kinesiologists. I went to occupational therapists. I went to endocrinologists, you know, massage therapists, like all these experts. And all these experts with all their knowledge couldn't help me. And why is that? You know, because the one piece of knowledge that they didn't have is what is it like to be a compulsive overeater? You know, and only a compulsive overeater knows what it feels like to be me, what it's like to think like me, what it's like to eat like me, what it's like to behave like me. And this is why only an alcoholic can help another alcoholic, because, you know, we are the experts. I am an expert at my disease. I am an expert compulsive overeater. And now, by the grace of God and through these 12 steps, I am also an expert in recovery. And, you know, I was full of excuses when I came in, even before I came in, but even in the rooms of OA, I was full of excuses. And only a recovered compulsive overeater really could call my bluff and tell me, you know what, Nessa, these are just excuses. You know, you don't have time. You had time, you know, you had plenty of time, you know, if you wanted to have a binge, to plan your binge, to get your foods, to hide them, to clean up after yourself. You had plenty of time. You know, you're very stressed out. You know what? Like, you had time for your disease too. I mean, everything is, I just lost my train of thought, but, you know, my sponsor could call me on my on all my millions of excuses, and they were very, very valid. You know, like, I have small children, I have a stressful job, I work long hours, etc. But that's why only an alcoholic can help another alcoholic, because, you know, we've been there, we've done that, and we've come out the other side. So not only the expertise in the disease, but also the expertise in the recovery is why, you know, it behooves us as recovered people to pass it on and to keep building that chain, to be a link in that chain of recovery. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nessa R. Larry K., but before you begin, I just want to let people who may have gotten on a little late know that we're on XBI, first full paragraph prior to his journey. Go ahead, Larry K.
Thanks for your service. Larry K., recovered compulsive reader from Chicago. You know, it just reminds me, when Bill left Towns Hospital for the last time, at least in treatment, he was reborn. And he was filled with that mountaintop experience, and he basically, you know, he talks about searching the boroughs of Brooklyn looking for drunks to help. And basically his efforts were futile at best. You know, nobody was getting sober. And I can relate to that, you know, when I was newly recovered. You know, and 6 months into his own recovered state, Bill and a few friends find, you know, this small company in Akron, Ohio, that was ripe for takeover. And, you know, Bill felt that his financial situation, you know, this would pull him out of his poor financial situation. And, you know, the deal falls through, more likely on rumors that he was a drunk. I mean, he was only sober for a short time here. And the thing about it is, here was a guy dejected and depressed and, you know, and he's, you know, he realizes at some point that he's going to have to carry this message to another. If he wants to stay sober himself, he's going to have to carry the message to another person. And that's the very essence. When we come through this process, this practical program of action, you know, we get to step 12. It's a key critical component. We have to carry the message. You know, you're not burdening anybody when you ask them to sponsor you or to take you through the book. Now they may or may not be available. You know, there's, you know, there can be some challenges there. However, you're doing more for them perhaps than they're doing for you. And Bill somehow knew that, and that was divine in nature. I really believe that was divine in nature. And, you know, I'm not buying the fact that this is random. I'm not buying the fact that it's random that you and I are on the phone this morning. I never bought that. You maybe see it that way. I connect the dots back to, you know, to the 1930s and beyond, to December 1st, 2016. I connect those dots, and I believe that this higher power that I call God is at work, was at work then and is at work now. And when we follow this prescription, you know, when we follow this practical program of action, the reason why it works is because it unblocks us from our higher power. The higher power is there, and it unblocks us, and we are changed, we are transformed, we are restructured, we are inwardly restructured so that we're no longer the people that we used to be. We don't think the way we used to think, we don't feel the way we used to feel, and certainly we don't act the way we used to act. If that isn't divine, I don't know what is. You know, this program is for anybody who picks up the spiritual toolkit. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry K. Irini M.
Thank you, Rebecca, for your service. Good morning, my spiritual brothers and sisters. My name is Irini M. from New York. So gratefully recovered from compulsive overeating only through the grace of God. Only through the grace of God. Because here Bill was already recovered, he made sure to live by these spiritual principles of the steps. So even though life wasn't going his way in this particular instance, his business venture collapsed, and his emotional state of being at that moment was fear. So fear had a hold of him. And what did he do? He weighed and measured his thoughts, and he did the right thing. He got connected with another, and not disconnected in isolation. So connection was his theory that worked to identify with another, the need to be connected to the other. It says here he suddenly realized, wow, here is principle step 11, a spiritual awareness that intuitive thought, God spoke to him. He was in the light of the Spirit in that moment where he had clarity and saw the truth. And then it says, in order to save himself, step one is honesty. The truth always sets us free. What was the action? How do we bring it from our thoughts into our hearts and down to our feet? It says here, he must. Step 10, perseverance. He is doing something despite the difficulty that he was feeling, which was fear. Here he is doing the right thing as opposed to doing what he felt like doing. And then it says, carry the message to another alcoholic. Principle, step 12, service. Walking the thought out from the mind into the heart and down into his feet. Walking as God would have him be. He is carrying the gift, the message of hope, to pass it on, the message of God. For he is being carried by God. Amazing. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Irene M. Harlan G.
Thanks. Harlan G., Scottsdale, Arizona. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can, Harlan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to expand on Larry's great share, and I'm going to back it up just a little bit to remind me and all of us that every time we're on this line or every time we walk into a meeting, we walk in on the shoulders of giants. And those giants were created by God. Let's go back to March of 1935, right before Bill is ready to leave for Akron. He comes home, and him and Lois are supposed to go to an Oxford group meeting that night. And Bill is ready, because he didn't work, and Lois did. Bill is ready to go, but he's frustrated. He's frustrated to attend, because all day long he's been down at the bars in the Bowery, pulling drunks off bar stools, and none of them want to get sober. He wants to take them to the Oxford group meeting, and they won't go. Now, Lois Wilson is going to change the course of human history. When Bill says to her in the living room, Lois, I got this vision from God when I was in the hospital, when the white light came into my room, that the destiny of my life is to sober up drunks, and none of them want to get sober. Now, she could have turned to him and said, yeah, you better forget it. Just it doesn't work, forget it. But she didn't. She turned to him and said, but you're staying sober. He had another flash. For the first time in his adult life, he had managed to stay sober since mid-December. This was the end of March. And she suggested to him that why doesn't he go down to talk to Dr. Silkworth? He goes down to talk to Silkworth days before leaving for Akron, Ohio. And Silkworth says to him, I've heard about some of the shenanigans you're pulling out there, Bill. You're talking to these drunks from some spiritual hilltop about God and the white light. He said, why don't you tell these people what I told you about the hopeless condition of mind and body, and then hit them with the spiritual angle? And the first person that Bill tried this new method on was Mother's Day, May 13th, 1935, Dr. Bob Smith. And the rest is history. So we are here by inches. We are here on the shoulders of giants. And what else did Dr. Silkworth write in his famous opinion? That in order for the message to be carried, it must have depth and weight. And we are the only people qualified to carry the message, because we are the only people that know what it's like to be compulsive overeaters and to have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And I have to think that God has a job for every one of us today to carry this message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Harlan G. Melissa C.
Hi, good morning. It's Melissa C., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And, you know, what strikes me this morning is I'm so glad that Bill's business venture was a failure, you know, in Ohio, because who knows what would have happened, you know, if things didn't play out that way. And it just, it kind of brings it to my attention that my view of what I think is right and wrong and what should be happening is skewed, you know, and I don't know the great impact that what might look like a failure at first really isn't, you know, it really, really it's always God is at hand here. You know, the universe has a specific plan and I have to act in agreement with it, you know, and the other thing that really jumps out at me is what a contrast, you know, this story is to Jim, you know, who had an issue with his boss and a little annoyed, but it wasn't so bad, he said. You know, not saying like what Bill said here, that he was really fearful and upset. You know, Jim sort of was in denial, you know, and so found himself, you know, in a bar restaurant first eating sandwiches and then putting scotch in his milk and or whiskey in his milk. And yet they were both uncomfortable with a work-related issue. One reached out with a phone to help, and the other one picked up. And so what I really get at this is when things don't seem to go my way or things are difficult at work, it's more important for me to work with other people. It's more important for me to give to my recovery, my program of recovery. You know, and I've shared here before that I'm working in a world of crazy right now. And thank you, God, it's just an incredible miracle that the desire to eat over this doesn't exist. And I walk into this building where people look like they're attending a funeral every day with a genuine smile on my face. Like, you know, and it's so opposite of how I used to be, you know. I used to be the first one complaining, and that's just not my story today. And it's because of the work of this program. It really does work, you know. When things are not feeling comfortable, I reach out to the fellowship. There's always a way to be useful, and it fulfills me, and it sustains me. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melissa C. Bella G., I did remember.
Thank you, Rebecca. Good morning, everybody. My name is Bella G., and I am a thankful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Rebecca, for doing this service, and thank you very much, everybody on the line. Wow, such a wonderful, wonderful paragraph and wonderful share. In order to save himself, he must carry his message to another alcoholic. Yes, thank you, God. I am here. I am here in the program. Because before the program, I was isolated. I wanted to be by myself all the time. Well, I wanted to be with people, but I had a fear. I had a fear that I am not exactly that like they want me to be. I was jealous because, oh, they are better than me. They are smarter than me. They are better than me. I didn't want to show that I do mistakes. And, you know, I am not all the time doing the best things. And, you know, I was judgmental and critical to myself, to everybody. Thank you, God, I am not there anymore. And yes, to save myself, to save from what? To save from believing that one day I will be perfect, or maybe there are some people that they are perfect now. No, thank you, God. I don't believe in this anymore. Yes, today my belief is that I am human. You are human. I don't know everything. I don't know all the time what to do and how to behave. And yes, it's a program that it's, you know, to give and to get. And it's a must. And like one person said, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to carry over this wonderful message that I am not connected anymore to my ego. I am not connected anymore to myself, to be selfish. Today, thank you, God, I am connected to a loving, accepting power. And yes, there is always opportunity to teach and to learn new things, new behaviors. And yes, today when, you know, I have my character defects and I have my own resentments and I have my own fears, you know, I don't blame myself. I don't judge myself. I can always, and this is what I am doing, to call people from the program, and I know that they will not judge me. They will not blame me. They will accept me. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Bella G. Kurt, you're up.
I'm sorry, I'm just going to listen today, if that's all right.
Sure, that's fine, Kurt. Some other time. This is Rebecca F., and I'm going to share. We are on the first paragraph on XVI prior to his journey. And what I'd like to share is also some of the history, and that is that in Akron, Dr. Bob was attending Oxford group meetings with Henrietta Cyberling. She was, I guess, leading the meetings or hosting them. And everybody in the group exposed a flaw in themselves in with the desire to perhaps invite Dr. Bob to share his flaw in himself, and he was moved, and he did share in front of this group that he was an alcoholic. And Henrietta suggested would he like the group to pray for him, and he did want them to, and they all got on their knees and they prayed for him, and he prayed for himself. And after that, Henrietta got a message, she believes, from her higher power to tell Dr. Bob that he shouldn't drink, take even a drop of alcohol. And a couple of weeks later, Bill is going through the directory and lands on Reverend Tunks, I think is the name, and he refers Bill to someone who refers Bill to Henrietta Cyberling. And he has one nickel left to make a phone call. He calls Henrietta Cyberling, tells her there's a little rustling back there. Mute your phone, please. He tells Henrietta Cyberling that he's an alcoholic and he needs to work with another alcoholic to stay sober. And she says, "We've been waiting for you." And she introduces Bill to Dr. Bob. So this notion, how they sum it up so simply, that the alcoholic turned out to be the Akron physician, the whole thing, just like Larry was saying, that he's not buying that this is random. This is not random. This is God moving in mysterious ways in all of our lives. And with that, I'll pass. Who else would like to share on this paragraph before we move on?
This is Janice M.
Reva P.
Janice. Reva P.
Sue G.
Okay. Janice M., go right ahead.
Well, thank you, and good morning to you, Rebecca, and everyone. My name is Janice M.
a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Love to hear the history. But I'm going to bring back it, apply it to me, to us for today. Now, most of us have been abstinent in the past. That's our history. You know, we could stay abstinent, but we couldn't stay stopped. So what's happening here, the lesson for me is, this is the protection for us for permanent recovery. Okay? The bottom line for me is selfish, selfish, selfish. And I, you know, came onto this line many times in the past decades. Get, take, 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 take. You know, be here every day to take, so that you people, the recovered people, could teach me, you know. And then through the grace of God, I got recovered. But then what happens is, you know, then people leave. They don't want to be, they don't want to carry this message. I mean, I just don't understand it. I guess when they say, you know when I say I'm grateful, that means action, Janice. Show the one that gave it to you how really grateful you are. And this is what I see here, that Bill was so grateful. He was so grateful that he hasn't been drinking, that, you know, he knows that he has to pass it on. And it's really not a joy. You know, and we continue to read on page 102, in the big book, it's my job now, once I'm recovered, is to carry this message, is to be at a place where you may be of maximum helpfulness, not only to God, to myself, but to others. So never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. Isn't it funny how all of a sudden they don't have the time. People don't have the time to do service, you know. But they had the time every day to be here to get what they needed to get, because that's how we are. That's how I was, you know, very selfish, very self-centered. Now I got it. Bye-bye. See you later. But, you know, we must carry this message. And the shift in my thinking, that's what happened. Instead of me being selfish, I'm trying to be selfless and carry this message of my experience, of my spiritual awakening. I hate when I get messages. To show that that trust in the future, but, you know, carry this message to other compulsive overeaters. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Janice M. Reva P.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. What's striking me this morning is the word theory. You know, Bill had theories, but the difference between Bill and other people is that he put the theories into practice, because I've heard theory without action is fantasy. And how did he put his theories into practice? In the practice above, in the paragraph above, he took the actions that are basically a summary of steps, you know, almost 1 to 12, but at least 1 to 10. And then what happens when life doesn't go his way? Because initially I thought that if I did the work and I was a good girl and I did the work right, then life would just go the way I want and God would follow my orders. Hello?
Reva P., I'm not sure what that is, but it sounds like it's tapped. Go right
Hello?
Ahead.
Oh, sorry. I heard a dial tone there.
Yeah, I did too. Go right ahead. Sorry.
So what strikes me here is what happens when things don't go his way. He puts the theory into action, and he acts on the idea. And he does what he says he must do, which is carry the message to another alcoholic. And yesterday I was so agitated and resentful, and underneath was fear. So when I got off this line, I just did the simple action steps. I did a step 10. I shared it with another recovered compulsive overeater. I was not in nirvana. I was not this peaceful, you know, walking on water lady. But I went into my mother's retirement home, and I was a sane, reasonable human being, and it just happened. that the head nurse just happened to be there, and they happened to listen, and they happened to check the files. And yes, there was a mistake, and they corrected it with ease and peace. And that is not magic. That is miraculous, and it comes from doing the work, the simple little actions. And then I got to listen to somebody else last night who is in the same situation in at work as another addict, and she is peaceful and he is a wreck. And how does that happen? It's because she's doing the work and he's not. He's just complaining about all the stress going on. And it is miraculous. It is amazing. But we need to take these simple actions, because I heard early on, you know, let go, let God, let go, let God. That didn't give me that deep sense of peace and help me transform my behaviors. It was just theory. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. Sue G.
Good morning. This is Sue G. from Michigan, recovered by the grace of God. I can really relate to Bill. I mean, Lois telling him, but you've kept yourself sober. I have a feeling that Bill and Bob, once he talked to Bob, talked regularly while they were searching for their next person and trying to reach out and having another successful adventure. I feel like my day is different if I can reach out to someone and make contact and talk with them. I have days where I make 9 or 10 calls and I don't reach anybody. And I get very discouraged, and I don't remember that. But I'm sober. I'm abstinent. And that's the main thing. But there is a difference. And I'm sure that Bill and Bob, because they had that connection, could encourage each other and keep each other and help each other to stay sober. And I think that's the difference between, that's why we have outreach calls, is to reach out to other people. But that's why we're asked by our sponsors to make 3 or 5, because we don't always make connection on the first 2. And I'm so grateful. Again, I've mentioned it before, but I'm so grateful for those people that call me back, for those people that reach out on their own to me. For me right now, with the emotional, mental situation I'm in, it keeps me alive. It keeps me working, keeps me going. And I have a sponsor, my sponsee, but I only work with her 3 days a week, and she doesn't call me during the week otherwise. So on those days, that's a difference. There's a difference in my program. There's a difference. I look forward to being able to talk with her and work with her. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Suji. Why don't we move on with Lynn F. to the last paragraph on XBI, this physician had repeatedly tried. Lynn S.
Good morning. This is Lynn S., a recovering compulsive reader from Toronto, Canada. This physician had repeatedly tried spiritual means to resolve his alcoholic dilemma, but had failed. But when the broker gave him Dr. Silkworth's description of alcoholism and its hopelessness, the physician began to pursue the spiritual remedy for his malady with a willingness he had never before been able to muster. He sobered, never to drink again, up to the moment of his death in 1950. This seemed to prove that one alcoholic could affect another as no non-alcoholic could. It also indicated that strenuous work, one alcoholic with another, was vital to permanent recovery. Lennes, Toronto, Canada. This really speaks to me, and it's so interesting because Dr. Bob tried the spiritual means, but it didn't work because he didn't have the rest of the information. But when he heard about the allergy of the body coupled with the obsession of mind, he got that information, and then he was working with Bill W., a recovered alcoholic, putting all those three things together, it worked. And it's just amazing. Like, it's not just that one alcoholic could affect another as no non-alcoholic could. It's only if we have all those other pieces together. And it's strenuous work. One alcoholic with another is vital to permanent recovery. It reminded me of my own personal experience where I was going to see a therapist who had been 180 pounds overweight and had lost her weight. But that was all she was. And she didn't have the obsession of the mind, the allergy, the body information to pass on. So it didn't work. She didn't have the spiritual approach, so it didn't work. But for somebody like me, who is a compulsive overeater, to have the spiritual remedy for a spiritual illness, to have it explained to me about the obsession of the mind and the allergy of the body, and to see this working daily with other compulsive overeaters who have recovered, that is the miracle of this program. And again, there's nothing that's a coincidence here. This all comes together in divine order. The history of the program really speaks to me, but the application in my own life is so strong, filled with hope, and leads to permanent recovery, which is something I could never, ever experienced before. I could stop eating. I could lose the weight. I've lost 100 pounds a billion times. But it never made any difference because none of the other components were there. There was no recovery. I'm so grateful for this program, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lynna. I think we'll probably have time for three people to share on this last paragraph on XBI.
Joanne L.
Rachel W.
Okay, so the only
Amy G.
word name
Anne
I
Marie
heard
M.
is Rachel. Okay, hold on a second. Rachel W. And if you chimed in when Rachel W. chimed in, could you say your name again?
Joanne L.
Amy Sally.
Okay, so I think I heard Joanne S. or S.
L. L.
L, L, L. Is that it? Okay.
Yes.
And then I think I heard Sally, maybe?
Yes.
Is there a Sally? Okay.
Sally A.
So, A. Hi, Sally. Okay, let's go with those three. I'm sorry, everybody else will probably revisit this paragraph again tomorrow, as well as have another hour non-recorded later. Rachel W.
Good morning. This is Rachel W., recovered compulsive overeater calling from New York. Thank you so much for your service. And, you know, the idea that is striking me here, that the physician who repeatedly tried spiritual means to resolve his alcoholic dilemma. And I'm just thinking about all those times I was binging and thinking, you know, God, how could you do this? You know, and you could split a sea, but you can't get me to stop ripping off a wrapper from a Reese's bar. Like, why can't you do this? You know, and it wasn't about whether or not the spiritual means work. You know, the 12 steps are ancient. This is stuff that's been going on for thousands of years. The practices, the ideas, this is really old stuff. The problem wasn't in those other spiritual means necessarily. The problem was that where was I? You know, what was I plugged into? You know, I was plugged into myself, you know. So as long as I stayed plugged into self, I could blame God for everything. I could say, you know, where are you? Why isn't this working? And I'm praying and nothing's happening. Well, guess what? I'd had to stop sort of praying and start listening and step back. And I heard an AA speaker say, you know, step away from your life, you know, like step back and say, you know what? It's not about what I want. It's about what you want. And putting down the food, you know, occurred not, that was not me putting down the food. That was the fellowship. And that's God speaking through me, through the fellowship to me. You know, that's how I got to put the food down. It was not, you know, one day waking up and saying, you know, that I'm ready to just put the food down now. It was a spiritual experience. It was an experience of understanding that it's not about me anymore. So once that happened, I could actually apply these steps, and it could really work, you know, and it could keep me abstinent. But the idea also that, you know, giving this program away, and especially receiving it from somebody who's been there before, there's nothing like receiving, you know, there's nothing like someone who's actually been to war or been in a situation that you could actually say, okay, this person gets it, you know? And so the idea that I can get it from someone else and that I can give it away to keep it, it is such a miracle. And I'm really just so grateful. So thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Rachel W. Joanne L.
Morning, Rebecca. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island. Thank you for your service today. The line that pops out at me is the very last line on XBI. This seemed to prove that one alcoholic could affect another as no non-alcoholic. It has indicated that strenuous work, okay, it says, it also indicated that strenuous work one alcoholic with another was vital to permanent recovery. And I just want to say, I love what Larry said. It is so God divine, because I had a gift that just happened to me, and I have been home from surgery, and I have been listening every single day, and I needed help. And if it wasn't for all of you, or a lot of you, to call me and reach out to me, I probably still would be living in the problem today and not the solution. I needed some help, and I asked for some calls, outreach calls, and I can't begin to tell you what God did for me. Now I'm going to be going back to work next week, and I won't be able to listen and live to this line, but I do listen at 4:30 in the morning when I'm getting ready for work, to the meeting the day before. But I just want to say, you know what, another person reached out to me, like you're all talking about, and she decided to work with me as my sponsor. And so I'm well on my way now. And I just want to thank each and every single one of you, because these pages really, truly are God-inspired, because this was all God, you know. This was his plan for me, that while I was home, for me to reach out and ask for the help, and I did, and I got it, and I just want to say thank you to everybody. I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. Sally A., you'll be our last person to share.
Thank you, Rebecca, and thanks, everybody, for being here, because I need you this morning like I need you every day. It's Sally A. in New York, compulsive. So this physician had repeatedly tried spiritual means to resolve his alcoholic dilemma. Of course, we know it's Dr. Bob, but had failed. And so this gives me great hope, because Dr. Bob was such a strong leader for recovery, and he's like me. He is a chronic relapser, but had failed. And let me tell you something. In this particular relapse, I can honestly say it's the first time, I hope it's the last time, that I honestly was so depressed, even though I was abstinent, but the struggle was so hard. I found myself honestly thinking about driving into a tree and just crying and thinking about all the sequela for my family. And I'm just beside myself with the work that it takes to get back out of the quicksand, even to the work it takes for other people who are loving enough to come to the quicksand that I did a cannonball into and lovingly say, well, are you ready to get out yet? No, go away. And it's just amazing. But the thing I wanted to say more than anything about the chronic relapse, not to be a bummer for anybody today, is that until I realized that I'm a stage 4 cancer patient, like page 18 tells us, that we're stage 4, and that we don't have time to fool around with this illness, that it's a Cinderella story. It's only a one day of reprieve, a daily reprieve. And that's because I really, the reason I need all of you guys is because, I mean, even after years of being recovered, the reason I need all of you guys is because I have a built-in forgetter, and I forget what it was like and how it felt and the struggle that I went through to get away from that. And finally, let me just say this to any of you who are like me, a chronic relapser. please let me tell you, if you're like me and you're holding on to this preconceived notion that you've given up enough because you gave up sugar and flour, and you're holding on to that as and saying, oh, I'm abstinent because I gave up sugar and flour. Hello? It's not enough. It's the popcorn. It's the raisins. It's all the other things that you don't want to give up that are still triggering your body and your illness. It's twofold illness. It's the body. It's the mind. Thanks for letting me share all of that. Have a great day.
Please, talk for yourself. Talk for yourself.
Okay, thank you. We don't speak out of turn here, but we do have a telephone if we want to call anyone and discuss things with them. And so we are at 5 minutes before the end of the hour. Thank you, Sally, by the way, for your share. And let's see here. It's time to close. So I want to thank everyone who has shared on the line and has done service on the line. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Irini M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only to the end of the page.
It's my great pleasure and honor as a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, God. Always giving credit where credit is due. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.